Blog Talk Radio.
Nation that
help the less fortunate. You know, they feel that they should work harder, which is stupid. As it, you know, I mean, there are notable studies out there. You can't work your way out of poverty. It's that simple. You know, it's basically who you know, and you know, yes, your talent has a lot to do with it. Your looks have a lot to do with it. Your race has. So there's a lot of other factors involved as well. And you know, how you achieve success in this economy, in this world, in this nation. And you know, I don't think that adopting hackneyed slogans, you know, work yourself up by your bootstrap and this sort of foolishness, you know, tells the full story. You know, everybody gets help at some point. You know, if they don't get it from, you know, the government, they get it from their mother, their father, their sister, their brother, someone, a spouse, a significant other, partner. Well, I've gotten significant help in my life. So, you know, to sit here and say that I'm self-made and no one has ever helped me, no brother, sister, mother, father, uncle, aunt, grandparent is a lie. And anyone that utters that is a liar, because everyone gets help at some point. Or you might not have gotten, quote-unquote, a handout from the government, but someone at some junction in your life has helped you significantly and either propelled you on a path to success or hasten your slide or descent into failure, one or the other. So, you know, that's where we are with the, you know, it's, you know, at some point when we, you know, start being honest, brutally honest with ourselves, stop lying to ourselves, then, you know, a lot of the racism that we've seen evident or see evident now that we're shocked about, poo-pooing, bemoaning, is won't be as shocking, because then we'll realize it's always been there. Like Eric Holder said, well, you know, we're a nation of cowards when it comes to discussing race, and we are. We don't talk about race because, you know, Whitey wants us to believe that what occurred, you know, 300, 400, 500 years ago, we ought to get over. But you don't hear Jewish people talking like that about the Holocaust, which happened, you know, much more recently, but had as disastrous, if not less so, than the North American or slave trade. So, you know, and not only to talk about that, you know, the decimation of the Congo by Belgian dictator, you know, Leopold, who slaughtered hundreds and thousands of Congolese, you know, that wouldn't work in these diamond mines, and it's just outrageous. So, you know, we have to be careful, man. We have to have a sense of ourselves and a sense of our self-worth. And I meet a lot of Negroes all day, every day. You know, conservative to a fault. I mean, you know, they got theirs, you get yours. You know, they got good government jobs. You know, this sort of foolishness. So they're making 3, 4, 5, 6-figure salaries. And this shutdown ought to serve as a wake-up call to them that their livelihoods, their life, their lifestyles can be pulled from under them in little or no time if they are not careful and certainly conscious of that. And if this hasn't made them conscious, then I don't know what will. Because you could, if you were unaware that Chump the Brain Dead Comic Carnival Barker was not capable of such cruelty, I have no idea of what you have been doing for the last 2 years, because his propensity for cruelty has been evident in just a cursory review of some of his more notable comments. So this is where we are in this country, where we're have to get to a point where, you know, we're being brutally honest with ourselves. And perhaps that will open a door, or the door, to truth and reconciliation is direly, you know, desperately needed in these United States of America. So there were a couple of really good articles that I wanted to share with you. One, in the Times, a young woman, a writer, actually she's not that young any longer, who fought against some of the big studios, African-American woman, sister, who claims that they stole Terminator and the other big franchise, The Matrix, from her. She had wrote them 1 through 4 or 1 through whatever, and they were optioned by the studio. Excuse me, made into blockbuster movies, and they didn't give her a dime. She had to, fortunately for her, she didn't make the mistakes that yours truly has, and retained counsel and took them to court. And it's been in there for, you know, over a decade. She finally prevailed and was awarded over $1 billion. So, you know, it's worth it. If she gets the credit, you know, that she deserves, in addition to the money, you know, that she was sorely deserving of, you know, she'll be all right. You know, that money will act as a salve to, you know, the grief that she's endured, or they made her endure as a consequence of appropriating her creative works, you know, and proffering them as the intellectual property of the studios. That absolutely outrageous. So, you know, I'm happy for her, you know, that this sister is finally vindicated, you know, for her creative output. And it's another very good, piece about our consumption habits, you know, as African Americans. You know, we tend to like, you know, things that aren't necessarily in our best interest. So that was another good piece as well. I like the Times, I think. Never had a subscription. I think I might have had a Sunday only I'll probably get the weekend, you know, go the weekend route again, because that's basically the only time I have the opportunity to just really, you know, read and relax and, you know, take some time and just reflect and consume some news. And that's basically what I did this weekend. I mean, you know, waiting for the games to come on, had quite a bit of leftover food, so I wanted to go through the refrigerator and go through a lot of the stuff that we hadn't consumed. It was just me, my significant other, and my child. And I wanted to invest in some better cutlery. We don't have very good knives here. My girl, she did buy some pots. She claims that I burned everything up, so you know, that was a good thing. And I invested in an old vintage cleaver. You know, it's pretty worth it if it's sharp and heavy. You know, you could do some really good work with it. You know, you could use it to slice, dice, mince. You know, keep it nice and sharp. You know, you can, because, you know, you know, I like to off cut some meat and stuff like that, and you know, I don't really hunt to the degree that I can consume what I'm hunting, because I haven't hunted like that in a number of years. The closest I come is to a butcher shop where all the meat is freshly butchered, and you know, you can break it down even further. So I wanted to invest in at least a cleaver. You know, I need other knives, but to start with a cleaver. And then I worked my way to, you know, several butcher's knives down to a deboning knife, because I do a lot of grilling. As a matter of fact, we were laughing about the fact that I just burnt up my the last grill that we bought. I think we've had it a couple of years now, and that is finally going the way it goes. Let's take a break and come back on the other side of the break and just muse about some of the things that occurred in 2018.
Looking for a hip multimedia management company that can manage you, your service, product, or your next multimedia project? Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level. At East New York Management, we can produce and post-produce your project into a sleek finished product. We write scripts, slow-mo, blurs, and spots that are tight, hot, and funky. Liners that flow smoothly with wit as well as with verve. We also manage talent, produce, and post-produce shows that are on the cutting edge, reflecting the undeniable influence of hip-hop on pop culture. The most important thing that we can bring to your product is energy, enthusiasm, and a love for the creative process. Look for us on the World Wide Web at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Call us at 347-846-8447 or email us at contact@eastnewyorkmanagement.net. Do not waste another minute with whack, boring, and uncreative multimedia and talent management companies. Bring your talent or project to East New York Management. Let East New York Management take you, your service, or your product to the next level.
And we're back here in Marketing Public International, New York edition, with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman, on the mic. It's 10:47 a.m. 28 degrees and cloudy here in Brooklyn, New York. It's Monday, 1-7-2019. And I was just musing about a lot of things that occurred in 2018, you know, just on a personal, no lighter note, because, you know, many of my brothers and sisters, my compadres, colleagues are suffering. You know, federal workforce is shut down. You know, I am congregate with many of these members that work for the federal government. I know them personally, and I know they have to be suffering. You know, because there is a notable study out that says that our savings aren't where it ought to be. And when you have, this is why, you know, it's constantly being said and being denied by some naysayers, that, you know, most persons, you know, they live up to their income level. I don't care what they're making, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100,000 or better per year. They're spending everything that they're making, you know, so they're making, you know, 1,000, 1,500, 2 grand a week. They're spending 2 grand a week. And so when you have, and the more you make, you know, the more you spend. And so this has to be tremendously devastating to people when you're used to spending that kind of money per week, to simply not have any, you know, to find that you've exhausted your savings and you're starting to look with alarm at your 401ks and other investments, you know, that you typically leave for your children or other loved ones. And, you know, I can see people panicking. You know, for real. So that's where we are right now in this United States of America. And I'm just in prayer for all these folk, you know, because I know that's a tough nut to have to crack, you know, to have to deal with loss of income. You know, that's a stressor that's up there with anything. I know I've been there, and I'm sure many other people have been there, man. It's not fun to have to replace a significant income loss, you know, to just lose that income, you know, demotion, you know, a termination, resignation, downsizing, whatever. You know, it's just it's not something that you were waiting for or ready for, and it can be and often is absolutely disruptive to your life, to what you're doing, you know. So that's where we're at with that. So I have some work to do after the show, and taking one step at a time, trying to purchase some additional equipment for one of the businesses, and I've been looking, and nothing in the area, and that's my concern. I don't want to have to. I don't want to necessarily have to travel if I don't have to. So that's what we're hoping. We're hoping to be able to source and purchase, you know, from the area. You know, that would make everything tremendously easier. So that's where we are with that. Well, we were talking about, you know, not only the shutdown, but the workers, the federal employees that are affected personally by it. And, you know, I don't know what these people are going to do, because this guy is absolutely, this is the wrong guy. Because he's absolutely antisocial. He's a sociopath, so he feels absolutely no pain, none of your pain. And I guess the larger point that I'm trying to make is that this could go on indefinitely, because the guy just doesn't lack the empathy and the compassion to understand. And beyond that is the other consideration, you know, which is race. I told you that blacks are overrepresented in the federal merit system. He's well aware that that demographic, that statistic. So he really doesn't care about blacks, because he knows for the most part, not talking about all African Americans, but for the most part, a notable number of them don't care. It is that simple. So, we're going to follow up today and see what, you know, where this thing goes indeed, if it keeps going on, and what the Democrats' response is going to be, because, again, without the Senate, it's kind of tough to get anything passed. And unless some of these Republican senators grow a set, I think that we're in a position where, you know, we're going to be at a stalemate for, you know, the conceivable future. Because what they're hoping cynically is that, you know, eventually, you know, this goes on so long that eventually the Democrats have to start taking some heat. For that's their cynical strategy, to just try to wait it out, man. And it's absolutely outrageous, because, you know, again, these people have obligations, man. These are the very same people that they be complaining about as shiftless and lazy. These are the people that get up and make government work every day, you know. Whether good or bad, they still make it work. And, you know, I think the callousness exhibited by this administration is absolutely shameful. There is no other way to parse it. Absolutely. Excuse me. Shameful. And so I guess what we're going to do is, you know, in addition to praying, I guess the other part of it is, the flip side of it is, and I tell people this all the time, even, you know, I really have made this part of my life is to try to be self-sustaining as much as possible. Where, you know, it, like I was talking earlier about hunting, if I'm not hunting, I have the capacity to hunt, and I do, or fishing, or growing vegetables and that sort of thing, and starting a can and stop depending so much on, you know, like the great white father in terms of Chump, the reindeer comic con, Bark, a.k.a. Clueless Clown. You know, start depending on yourself, you know, become sufficient, self-sufficient, you know. Just talking to my girl, you know, I have some property in some rural areas of the state, and just thinking about doing that, you know, but I need a presence in the city. I always have to have a presence. Whether it's in Brooklyn or whether it's down in Beemore, I'm not really sure. Baltimore would be a better choice. We've been talking about this for a number of years, only because real property is much cheaper to buy, you know, whereas New York would be, you know, better for tons of reasons, but, you know, you need to be raking in the income. You really do. So that's where we are. Now, personally, with one of the businesses, you know, we have a, not a cash flow issue, you know, but we need to purchase more equipment for that particular aspect of the business, or we're going to have problems eventually. So, you know, we're on top of it. We're not leaving anything to chance. I'm just musing out loud about the direction, you know, strategic direction that we have to turn in order for us to realize, you know, some of the objectives and the forecast definitely that we've had for at least this new venture that we've engaged in. So very excited, and we're going to be talking more not only about new developments at East New York Management. Those that want to know more about us, just go to our website at www.eastnewyorkmanagement.net or www.eastnewyorkmanagement.com. And I gotta put some fresh content up there, and I plan on doing that today. A couple good pieces I'm going to pull out and paste to the website. So, you know, keep us posted, and certainly we will be back, and we'll be back next week with more of the same, same bad channel, same bad time, right here at EastNewYorkManagement.com. On the Marketing Pulpit International New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman.
Like shit. beginning.